The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Hey, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Lynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing good. We're here.
In the great state of Jefferson.
We are at the continuing soiree of liberty that we have every single Sunday for the most precious hour of the week. Broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. You also can listen live, because we are podcasting worldwide, on KCNR, 1460.com. That's KCNR at 1460.com. And if you have a comment or a question, the phone number is 530-605-4567. And before we really get into the things that we're going to talk about today, Wynn has an announcement, and then we have another one right after that. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, I just wanted to let everybody know that last night went to the Tehama County GOP dinner. It was wonderful. They did a great job, a great bunch of patriots in Tehama County. Several other counties were represented there as well, and of course, Shasta was there, and the congressman, Doug LaMalfa, was there hanging out and gave a little speech for a bit and words of encouragement. It was good. It was a good event, great people, and just did it upright like they can do in Tehama County. So I just want to give them a shout-out and their team. They have a small team, but they have a great team, and they're doing very well down there. And just want to give them kudos and attaboys for doing what they're doing.
And, Wynn, thank you for all you do for the community, buddy. I mean, a lot of you folks don't know, so I'm going to brag about my partner here for a minute, but, you know, Wynn has been involved in so many things, the Republican Central Committee. You're the secretary of that, aren't you, sir?
I am.
And also he was involved in the CFR, Californians for Fair Representation. Happens to be the only person ever that was involved with Jefferson that actually had a title.
Yeah, and I did not ask for that.
No, you didn't. Well, you never ask for any of this, brother. Well, that's why we love you so much.
That one I got because I didn't make the meeting. I had a family event to go to, and then when I find out after you guys had the meeting, then I all of a sudden have a position. Yeah, that's how that one rolled out.
We like to do that to Wynn. Anyway, yeah. I want to bring up a fundraiser that's going to be happening here, and this is going to be June 22nd. 2023 at the Larry Farr Community Center at 4499 Main Street, Shasta Lake City. It starts at 5 o'clock. There'll be a social hour. 6 o'clock is dinner and the program. The theme of this particular fundraiser is Save the Hanes. Educate, not indoctrinate. And these two people, great people, Lindsay Haynes and her husband Eli, are... There's an attempted recall by a bunch of people who I would say are a little left of the aisle.
They're misguided.
You think?
Yep.
$40 per ticket, $300 per table. There'll be guns and gift baskets and a live auction and adult beverages and more. So you can get your tickets at mailing a check, and you make your check out to CCGSD, Say No to Recall. That's CCGSD, Say No to Recall. And you can mail your checks to 215 Lake Boulevard, P.O. Box 808, Redding, California, 96001. The individual tickets are $40. The table is $300, and that includes 8 dinners and a table gift, which is a pretty good deal. Anyway, we just hope a lot of people attend that, and we need to help folks that are getting into office, that are wanting to do the right thing, stay in office. Now,
can you state the date again on that?
Please? I sure can. June 22nd, 2023. June 22nd.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So, with that, we had an issue at the Board of Supervisors, this last Wednesday, during a budget meeting. And I'm going to play a couple of clips here. The first clip I'm going to play was on Carl Bott's show. Trish Clark was the co-host, who had some really good explanations of Mr. Garmin's boo-boo. And
it's not a boo-boo when you do it on purpose.
It isn't a boo-boo when you do it on purpose. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play that first clip because that'll sort of give you an idea of exactly what happened. So,
I have not seen that.
Well, it was totally and completely inappropriate, and here's the article you're looking for.
From the doctor?
From Mr. Garmin from the Shasta County Republican Central Committee.
Yes.
Chair.
Okay.
I think that's the second
clip.
Have
you got it right there?
I've got it right here.
That's the first
one.
Okay, we'll read part of it.
Well, okay, so.
Or just, summarize it or something.
Okay, so it basically says that all five members of the Board of Supervisors are Republicans at this time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have, always maintained about Republicans and why they don't do as well as they should is because they eat their young. and this is a perfect example of that party affiliation backlash that we cause in the thing. It says he attended the Republican dinner. He heard Representative Doug LaMalfa state President Reagan's 11th commandment. The 11th commandment was a phrase used by the president of Ronald Reagan. Thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republicans. What you have done is open the door for many within the Republican Party to call for your resignation from the party and from the office. It goes on to talk about all those reasons why you shouldn't do it. But he's an elected official. He was elected to do the job as a county supervisor. He can have his private thoughts. Mm-hmm. As an individual, but not when he's sitting on the dais representing the people who elected him.
If he went in there and he had pro-life T-shirt on, what would have happened?
It's totally inappropriate.
I know, but if he had worn that T-shirt, there'd been a lot of people screaming about that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Terry?
Well, I know because I was there. I actually went over to Mike Mangus, and he and I walked over during the break to Tim Garmin, and that's where Mike got his article from. And Mike and I were talking about it. I said, did you notice that Tim Garmin was wearing a Kevin Cry T-shirt? He goes, what? I go, yeah, let's go over there. So we walked over there, and Mike took a picture of him, and he goes, I can't believe this. This is what Mike said. I've never seen something this inappropriate. I said, this is a budget meeting. And I asked Garmin, I said, this is a budget meeting. You're wearing this shirt. No matter how you feel, it's fine. That's up to you, but the point is, this is the budget meeting. This is the people's business, and you're wearing a recall, one of the people you have to vote with today. You're wearing a T-shirt. Well, I have my reasons, and I go, well, I don't know what those reasons are, but, you might want to explain them to me. I voted for you. I put signs up for you, and while I'm telling him this, another person from District 2 comes up and tells him he's been the biggest disappointment we have ever had in the district because he ran on certain things and then he turned around and voted the opposite way. Whether you agree with how he voted or didn't isn't the issue. Each time he voted, including the Dominion machine, I had talked to him 2 days prior to those votes. He told me he was going to vote the complete opposite way on three different items where he turned around and voted the way he voted. When we elect somebody and put money out and put signs up for somebody, for them to do these kinds of things like that, it's just so inappropriate. Trish is right. I've never seen anything like this. And Mike and I were just kind of going, man, we've been doing this for years, man, and we've never seen anything like that.
Well, it's the thing like this is, it's recall cry, but my earlier statement, what if you had something up there wearing a shirt that says, life starts at conception? What do you think
apples and oranges, and here's why. If you're asking me my opinion, that's apples and oranges. You're talking about voting on the people's business, their money. You're talking about budget, and you're sitting there, and you're going to vote and discuss with your comrades up on the Board of Supervisors, and you're wearing a shirt to recall them. I mean, what? You're not wearing a shirt to abort them. I mean, really and truly, one of the things David Benda said to me, who's another piece of work, he said basically, you know, here's the deal. What about Patrick Jones throwing fundraisers? I said, Patrick Jones didn't sell tickets during a budget meeting. I said, the whole point is that there is no justification for this. Dan Sloan was correct in the letter he wrote. They had all agreed as Republicans that they wouldn't go after one another. They try to support each other. If they don't like something someone's doing, just keep your mouth shut. And here Garmin does that. Now here's another bit of scuttlebutt, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll throw it out there to you.
Okay, wait a minute. When you say scuttlebutt, we don't know it's true, right?
That's exactly
so
right.
So this is just a rumor.
This is a rumor, but okay. It's a rumor, and that's exactly what I'm saying. This
okay.
is a rumor I heard.
All right. So it may or may not be true.
May or may not be true.
I just want to make that real clear when people are listening.
But I think that somebody will substantiate it one way or another. So let's just throw it out there, because this is what's going around out there in the media. Basically, Tim Garmin had called Mary Rickert to see if she was going to wear her T-shirt, her Kevin Cry T-shirt. She declined, but encouraged him to wear his. Just saying. So, I mean, the thing is that it's just, and when I asked him about it, he goes, well, you know, I don't want to be bullied by these people. And I thought Kathy Darling Allen was bullied. I go, well, that's fine and dandy, but you felt that Kevin Cry bullied her? And so you're wearing a shirt to recall him as you do the people's business? That's not a distraction for anybody? I mean, seriously?
You know, Terry, the most important distinction you have made, each one of those members of that board of supervisors have a right to their personal opinion. And when they're acting as a private citizen, not as an elected official, they can do whatever they want to. But it is absolutely, totally inappropriate for a member of an elected board to sit on that dais as a representative and act in that manner.
I'm not.
Trish was right.
Yep, she was right. Thank you, Liam. And yes, Liam, you had the right one, as usual. I'm the one who needs another cup
okay.
of coffee, brother.
I'm on number three, so.
And don't forget, Trish sat on that board for a number of years.
She did.
And she's been there, done that. She's had barbs thrown at her, so she's earned the right to say what she said, but she was absolutely right.
Now, this next clip is good because Shelley had called in and had given Carl and Trish the exact code that was broken, and then at this point with this clip, Trish reads it. So you want to play the second clip there, my friend.
Okay, so I'm going to put what Shelley just referred to. Section 38.2 is campaign activities of county officers and employees. County officers and employees are prohibited from engaging in campaign activities related to county elective offices within county-owned or county-leased premises.
Sure. Okay.
The term premises means a building or other, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, there is specifically a law that prohibits what Mr. Garmin did yesterday.
Thank
Chapter
you.
38 campaign.
So, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and that's, I mean, Trish had it right on. If you go back and listen to that, that program, you can start at the second hour, with Trish and Carl. That was Thursday, June the 8th. She was very, very good in that, when she's talking about, very articulate in talking about what Garmin did. But I mean, to me, it's just unexplainable how, that wasn't a very smart move.
Well, it's political suicide is what it was.
You think?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, you have somebody that virtually goes in there and,
for those who were on the fence.
Yeah.
It just pushed them over. They're like done. So,
right.
And then others that weren't even aware of it and then they start hearing about stuff, then they're done. So yeah, it was political suicide.
Liam, what you got there, buddy?
I mean, well, I'm just thinking about this conversation and like, I wouldn't agree that it's appropriate. But how do you even define campaign activities? Because, I mean, virtually everything is a campaign activity. Like, the way you vote can be. And then even looking at the N-word incident, where's the line between Tim Garmin's, or whoever we're talking about, because I'm only half listening, his freedom of speech, and what is a campaign activity that's allowed and what's not? Because virtually everything as an elected official is a campaign activity.
Well,
but there's a difference.
There is a difference.
There's a huge difference when you're sitting up on the dais representing the people doing the people's business. You cannot be campaigning.
Yeah, that's something that you're told when you run. That's something that's in the code. It's not only a code of ethics, it's a law.
It's common sense.
It's common sense. Yeah. And it's not an opinion. See, that's the thing. It's not an opinion. It basically is something that's going on. It's a real, the recall's a real deal. It isn't an opinion. Like, you may have an opinion one way or another about abortion. That's your opinion. But the point is when you have something that actually is, there is a viable campaign out there. There is a recall campaign out there. And you're doing the people's business and you're working with these people on the board to bring about a budget on the people's money. There is no room for that. And no, it's a law. You can't do that. It isn't that the guy can't wear that t-shirt, driving his car or going to the restaurant or even if he wanted to do an interview on the news, in front of his house. The point is that's the law. He should have known that. In fact, the attorney is the one who did tell Gurman, that he was breaking the law. Don't do this. You're breaking the law. So.
Well, and ignorance is no excuse.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, there's nothing infringing on anything as far as his freedom goes. He actually was infringing upon the people's freedom and the people's money because he was supposed to do the people's business.
Dealing with the money.
And that's what that whole thing is about.
Yeah.
So, but I think in a lot of cases, it's kind of like, when Nathan Pinckney was upset about the N-word, but did the video that Mike Mangus did.
Right.
He did it on the news, and I guess apparently Pinckney used the N-word 6 times in this video. And his reasoning was because he's black, he's African-American, he can use that slang and use that word. Okay, well, then that means you're a Native American. You could use some sort of slang. I'm half Spanish. I could use some sort of slang, and no one else could use it. I could find it offensive, and you couldn't use the slang I use, and I can't use. Well, what happened to freedom of speech?
Went out the window.
Somebody clue me in. What happened? I mean, to me, I think that remark was racist.
Well, the thing is, you have the freedom to speak, but you also get the expressed responsibility for what you say. So choose your words wisely.
Yeah, but the argument is, because I'm African American, I can use the word, but you're Spanish and Portuguese and you can't. How does that even, what world are we living in here?
Isn't it important to contextualize the historical use of the word? I mean, that's kind of what it boils down to. Right?
Well, it does.
And I'm not, and I hear you when with freedom of speech. Like,
right.
I'm not gonna disagree with you at all there. But the historical implications of that word, are why it is so contested.
Well, what about the historical thing of the word WAP? That meant without papers.
I mean, yeah,
okay,
that's
what it meant, but it does, and that means that you didn't have your papers when you came into America. So there are a lot of words you can do, but isn't there any personal responsibility we have to have here? I mean, they actually, Mary Rickard, I think, made a motion. I could be wrong. I thought it was Mary Rickard, but I think she made a motion that you can't, that we have to watch what we say, in the words, And we have to do it. And I remember a couple of people standing up saying, somebody has to write some rules for me on what I say. And one of the comments several of us made was that at what point do you control yourself? I'm not going to use the N-word. I'm not going to use words that are going to be a slang for someone. I mean, that's personal responsibility. I mean, after a while, you're going to have to, is the government going to have to hold it for you when you go to the bathroom? I mean, really, seriously, at what point do we say, gee whiz, don't we have any personal responsibility ourselves?
We are adults. Let's act like adults.
I mean, seriously.
Be respectful and act that way. I mean, and treat others the way you want to be treated. If you want people to be treating you like garbage and you treat them like garbage, that's what you're going to get back at you. So, I agree. It's personal responsibility 100%. We have to be careful. Don't say things. I mean, if it's even in your vocabulary, be careful. Be mindful of not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in your vocabulary, you have nothing to worry about.
And let's go back to that historical perspective, shall we? Okay, so that means if you're African American, you can insult another African American by using the N-word, even though it has historical references. It's a terrible word, but you can use it if you're African American, but you can't use it if you're someone else. How does that fit into the realm of reality here?
I think it boils down to like an overwhelming just like cultural problem, and that like we as like white people unfortunately need to be responsible and understand perspective. And although like we view it as just a word, some people get really upset over it.
Well, we're not viewing it as a word.
Well, right. I mean, I'm just saying like yeah, it is personal responsibility.
Yeah.
But like it also is perspective.
And Nathan Pinckney shouldn't use the word either.
I don't think he should. I think that by anyone using the word, regardless of race, you're feeding into the problem.
I agree. And as far as historical perspective, you can think of all kinds of things that the Irish went through.
Look at
that. I mean, at one point, the Irish were probably the bottom of the barrel of being treated badly. And what about Native Americans?
The Italians, the Native Americans, and the Asians. Like everyone has been persecuted.
Everyone has. And so the deal is you have to have personal responsibility someplace in the world.
First of all,
and
we're Americans. Let's act like it.
Right.
Stop all this garbage and just grow up and be respectful. That's it. Just treat each other with respect and dignity. That's it.
I still feel that if you say you can use the N-word mm-hmm. on another African-American because you're African-American and that other person is African-American, or you can use the N-word on a white person. I've had it used on me before. So if a black person can use the N-word on a white person, then how is that not racist?
Yeah.
Anyway, we have someone on the line here, someone who...
Different subject.
Well, maybe not a different subject. Probably not, knowing this fella. This fella is...
different subject.
he's probably going to weigh right in on this, I would think. Mark Baird, how are you, sir?
Every day is a blessing. How are you guys?
Yep. Amen, brother. What's happening with you?
I'm at an unnamed base somewhere in the North American Southwest, and just calling in, give you an update on the Second Amendment lawsuit. We have a hearing on June 29th now. The judge changed the date at the last minute. It was June 30th, and we have come to expect that. That's to make sure that no one takes the chance to drive down there and go to court and actually listen to what's going on. They always change the date at the last minute. And then that's going to be at 9 a.m. in courtroom number one in federal court, Pasadena, California. And we have an interlocutory appeal against the denial of our preliminary injunction in California's federal court for the Eastern District over the lawsuit to reinstate the Second Amendment in California to allow open carry of a loaded weapon without government permission.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's 9 a.m. What date was that again, Mark?
June 29th.
It's June 29th.
Okay.
9 a.m., courtroom number one in federal court in Pasadena, California, and I'm sitting in a car, so I don't have the address right in front of me.
All right, buddy.
But you can Google it and find it.
Okay, because I know some people that want to come down to that.
Do you know the name of the federal courthouse?
No, I don't. It's just federal court in Pasadena. Like I said, if you Google it, you'll find it.
Okay.
And we do not know who the panel of judges are yet. And we won't find that out probably until the last minute.
So you have a three-judge panel?
Yes, a three-judge panel, because this is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay.
And what we allege is that Judge Mueller, our favorite federal judge in Sacramento, failed to consider at least two of the mandatory four qualifying factors in order to award a preliminary injunction, and she admits to ignoring these factors in the record. So when you ask for a preliminary injunction, there are four standards that must be met, and she admitted that she never looked at the most important two of them when she denied the preliminary injunction, and her excuse was that the Bruin case, which it was very cut and dried for the Second Amendment. It says if the conduct of the individual complies with the plain text of the Second Amendment, then the conduct is presumptively constitutional. And when you say presumptively, that's very important legally because, as everyone knows, in the legal world, we have a presumption of innocence. In other words, what that means is that it is up to the prosecution to prove your guilt because you are innocent unless they can prove that you're not innocent. So if our conduct is presumptively constitutional, that sets the stage so that in a prima facie, all gun laws in California are unconstitutional, and we presume that the Second Amendment means what it says it means in the language that the founders intended it to mean, and that California's gun laws are all presumptively unconstitutional unless the state can prove that they are not. So, quite frankly, the bar has been transferred to the state, but as usual, the federal courts, primarily in California, they're filled with Democratic operatives who pretend to be judges, and it's an uphill battle for us. And it's the same in the Ninth Circuit, although mathematically, the odds of getting two of the three to be conservative judges have improved. The odds are still against us.
Now, we're going to have to go off onto a break. Can you stay with us through the break?
Yeah, sure.
Outstanding. Okay. So with that, we'll take our break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the town he shined in light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Good song.
Amen. Amen. amen to that one. Hey, I found the address for the and the name of the courthouse. It's the address is 125, again, 125 South Grand Avenue, and that's in Pasadena, California. And the name of the courthouse building is the Richard H. Chambers U.S. Court of Appeals. That is the full name of the building, Richard H. Chambers U.S. Court of Appeals. So there you go. You have the name of the place, the location, the date, which is June 29th at 9 a.m. in courtroom 1, and that's on a Thursday to have the hearing. For 2A, for a three-judge court. Did I miss anything, Mark?
No, I don't think so. I think that's okay. About it. Courtroom number one, if I didn't say that.
Yep, you did. Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Good. So anything else new going on?
Well, no, not really. Just that's pretty important to me, so hoping we get somewhere with that, because if we are granted the injunction and also in our filing, we did ask that the court, in order to facilitate judicial economy and to stop Judge Mueller from dragging this out for the next 20 years or so until we finally get in front of merits portion of the trial, for them to issue a permanent injunction. I mean, the law is clear. Our conduct is the verbatim conduct contained in the Second Amendment. We want the right to keep and bear arms. The state's argument is they have the right to regulate how you keep and how you bear the arms. And there's an argument there with regard to concealed carry, which isn't a right, but you don't have the right. The state has no rights. First of all, they're a government. They're an inanimate object. Governments can't have rights. Only people can. But they don't have the jurisdiction or the authority to ban an enumerated right. And that's what they've done with the open carry of a loaded weapon. They're not regulating it. They banned it. And we say that's unconstitutional. They say it isn't, and we'll find out.
All right. So hopefully we'll have some kind of a good, solid, qualified decision at that point. That's what we're hoping for, correct?
Yeah, it is. Once again, you can't there is no mechanism through which you can ask a court to hurry up. There just isn't any mechanism in the Constitution to do that, and they probably would find a way not to do it anyway. So this could take a while, and Lord knows this case has been in front of Judge Mueller for almost 5 years, and we have still not had a hearing on the merits of the case.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And I want the people of California to understand that's how courts steal your liberty every day. They outspend you or they outweight you until you die or until you run out of money, because remember, you're paying for your lawyer and you're paying for the state's lawyer too. Now, if we win, we will ask for fees, but that could be 10 years from now, and if you can't afford to keep going, then you just lose. And well, so if you want to help me restore Second Amendment guarantees in California, please donate, and Wynn knows the address that you can do that.
Yep.
And 100% of the money goes to the case. I don't touch the money. I don't use it for travel or hotels or meals or anything else. 100% of it goes to the attorney. That's all we use it on.
That's right. And the address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy, Reading 96003. And you can make your checks out to, I just went blank.
Pecan.
Oh my gosh, pecan. P-E-C-A-N, and then in the memo portion on the lower left of your check, in the memo spot, write 2A. So I apologize for that. So again, it's 2A, and write the check out to pecan. P-E-C-A-N. The address is 14421 Suite B, Redding, California 96003. Now, when you're talking about, you know, all this delay, it's kind of ironic on the federal building in Sacramento where Judge Mueller sits, and she's the boss of everything there now. It's kind of ironic. There's a plaque out there that says, "Justice delayed is justice denied." So what the hell?
Yeah. What the hell?
I'm sorry. I have to
Blunt look, like that. Look, you know, anybody that doesn't know this, I'll enlighten you right now. We have a two-tier justice system here, and that's not how our nation was meant to be run. Not how our state was meant to be run, but it certainly is how it's run. And that is, there is a set of rules for the elites, and there are a set of rules for the rest of us. And the rest of us are not not free citizens of the state of California. Article 1, Section 1 in the California Constitution means nothing. And in fact, Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution is diametrically opposed to Article 1, Section 1.1, which was added to the California Constitution in December of 2022, because 1.1 says we were born free and independent beings, and as such, we enjoy certain inalienable rights, including the right to possess and protect life and property and to pursue happiness, privacy, and so on. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact language. And then Article 1, Section 1.1 says, now remember, Article 1, Section 1 says we have unalienable rights. In other words, rights given us by our God. Article 1, Section 1.1 says we have a constitutional right bestowed upon those who choose to exercise it by government. And if it's given by government, it can be taken away, too. Hmm. But to murder an unborn child. Wow. So there's how California is run. That's definitely a two-tiered. You have the God-given right to protect life, but the government has given you the right to take away a life as long as it's your unborn child.
Wow.
We have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know what to say anymore about the stuff that's going on in California.
And there's an assembly bill winding its way through right now that gives the government the right to take your children away from you if you fail to affirm the LGBTQ, whatever, however many letters there are. I can't even remember. That's so dystopian and bizarro to me. I don't even try to memorize all their letters and numbers now. But if you don't, as parents, affirm that agenda, whatever that means, your children can be taken from you.
So,
and that bill was sponsored by the Wiener guy from San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So now you are no longer a legal custodians of your children if you fail to affirm the LGBT lifestyle or whatever their agenda is.
So then,
and from one day to the next, I have to say, I don't even know what their agenda is.
So that's going to go from the Senate to the Assembly, right?
Oh, yeah, it'll pass. That'll pass, and the governor will sign it.
I mean, from the Assembly to the Senate is what I meant. It's going to go
that
from the Assembly.
That will pass, and the governor will sign it.
Oh, man. So how quickly will that happen, do you think?
Oh, who knows how fast that works, but it's in the offer, and it will probably pass. There is another bill going through the California Senate to drastically alter the characteristics of concealed carry in California so that either you won't want to carry because it'll be too much of a pain in the rear end or it'll be too expensive for you to get the permits or the number of exempt places where you cannot carry is going to be so onerous and so difficult that basically you won't know when you're subject to arrest or not.
Okay.
So, not within 1,000 feet of a school or 1,000 feet of this, not within private property unless they specifically put up a sign inviting you to do it, not on public transportation, not on other means of transportation. It is such a convoluted piece of garbage that, you have to wonder how the people of California even stay here. And a million of them left last year. And in fact, the adjusted gross income of the state of California has gone down $400 billion in the last 10 years.
Amazing.
Remember, whenever someone leaves California, the loss of that AGI is cumulative.
Right.
In other words, it goes from year to year to year and gets added to the other people who are leaving California.
Especially businesses.
You wonder why we've gone from a surplus to a $30 billion deficit like overnight?
Right.
Because 400,000 people left California and they took their adjusted gross income with them. And by the way, the top 1% of the earners in California pay half the taxes. But guess who's leaving?
The top 1%.
Yeah, not the bottom 1%. They're not leaving. But the top 1% is because they can. So the state of California is losing revenue, like bleeding it out. And the governor is just fiddling while Rome burns. And that's why I guess we're kind of leading up to this, and, I hate this, but, I might as well say it. I'm throwing my hat in the ring to run for state senate in District 1 because I have to make one last stab at doing something about this. I mean, I love my home. I love the place I live. I love my neighbors. I love the terrain, the geography. Everything we do there is perfect. the reason why people are leaving California is not because they hate their home and their family and their friends. They're leaving because they hate the government.
That's right.
I mean, but wrap your head around that for a second. I mean, we live in a beautiful place. We have beautiful friends and neighbors. We have, by and large, a great lives. And we find the government so untenable, so onerous, so crooked, and so messed up that we're willing to uproot everything we have and everything we know and move to a place that we probably, terrain-wise and weather-wise, may not like as well. But we're willing to go there just to get away from the crazy, upside-down, bizarro government that we have in Sacramento. That's crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely it is, yes.
Yeah,
and people are doing it by the tens of thousands, and businesses are doing it by the tens of thousands. And that's why we have a big deficit, and that is going to get worse, my friend.
You know, and it's, you know, again, thank you for standing up for people in District 1 running for Senate. I know that certainly is an arduous choice.
It was not easy.
Not easy. You certainly have my undying respect,
especially for what you're giving.
Yeah, absolutely,
For what you're giving up to do it.
And folks, just so you know, District 1, the Senate District 1, these are the counties that are involved. So, Sally, we want to make sure that we get this out to someone in each one of these counties: Siskiyou County, Modoc County, Shasta County, Lassen County, Tehama County, Butte County, Plumas County, Glenn County, Colusa County, Sutter County, Yuba County, and Sierra County, and most of Nevada County and parts of Placer County. So that has changed as far as the district goes. I know that a lot of your efforts, Mark, and a lot of the things you've done fighting for liberty for, longer than, but most recently the last 10 years. I believe that your platform is you want to get in there and we need to split the state, correct?
Well, yeah, that's the whole idea, is to find some mechanism where we can break away from California, because quite frankly, that is really our best hope to be able to rectify the lack of representation and some of just the silly, untenable things that come out of Sacramento. They're absolutely odd. Some of the laws that these guys bother to pass are just so disingenuous and odd and so distinctly not good for the people of this district or the people of California. It's literally ridiculous. So we have to do something about it. You know, I'm always telling people, stand. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. Now, here's the problem with this. We don't have money. We don't have a big campaign organization. We certainly don't have the money that the current incumbent in District 1 has, nor the money that his wife, the challenger, has. You know, that's like a little dynasty there. They want to pass the job down from husband to wife. And so if you stand with us and if you are upset about that dynamic, then you have to help or I won't win. In other words, this is a scenario where if you don't stand with me, nothing will change. I would like to take the opportunity to change these things and to somehow find some liberty for the people of District 1 and all the people of California for that matter. But I can't do this by myself. It's physically impossible. We don't have millions of dollars. We don't have a huge organization. I guarantee you none of the state employees unions are going to back us on this. So if you, the people of District 1, want this to happen, and you want to regain your liberty, Second Amendment liberty, First Amendment liberty, all of it, you have to help me or we won't win and things will probably get worse.
Well, when you set up everything for that, we will have folks an address. We will have a website. There is a team now that's
working on it.
Yes, working on it as we speak. And I think there's going to be a lot of support for this. Again, Mark, thank you for this announcement and your patriotism. As long as I've known you, you've always said, I'll lead from the front. And you've always been true to your word, and you always do. So once we get everything lined out here, hopefully within the next week or two, we'll be able to have everything set up.
Also, we need to thank somebody really super important. and your beautiful wife, Cindy, for being Amen. There and being right beside you, behind you, with you the whole way. Tell her thank you from all of us, too, because I know it was a tough decision for both of you. I know that because it's affecting both of you wholeheartedly. So thank you both. Thank you for running, and thank you to Cindy for everything she has done and will do.
Well, I mean, my wife is my best friend. That's no secret to anybody that knows me.
That's right.
And, you know, we really, all of us that are in these positions at our jobs and everything else, we all have to have the support of our families. You can't do these things without them. You know, your job is hard. Your time away from your family is hard. It's difficult. But, you know, I'm not a glass is half empty kind of guy. I wouldn't say these things unless I thought we could do something about it, and we can't. You know, the bottom line is we can fix this. We can fix it all. And all we have to do, because the people of the state of California have all the power, Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution says so. It says that government was instituted for our good, not its own good, and that we have the right to alter or reform government any time the public good demands it. So we have all the power. We've always had it. And what I hope to do is help people learn how to use it. Because by using the power that God has given us and that the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California has given us, to us the people, we can change this dynamic. But it is going to take a lot of us. In other words, we can't just show up in Sacramento with the same 50 people that always show up. We need to show up with tens of thousands of people. We need tens of thousands of votes. We need tens of thousands of people to say enough. We need you to say enough in your school boards. We need to say enough of this craziness. We need you to say enough to your board of supervisors. We need you to say enough to your city council. We need for all of you to start standing up and start paying attention to the government that you formed and that you vote for to serve your interest. And you cannot be like a watchmaker where you make the watch and then you put it out for sale and then that's the last time you ever think about it. You've got to pay attention to what happens in the machine called government, because freedom isn't free. It has a price. And what is that price? Eternal vigilance. If we don't pay attention to the government that we form to serve us, then the government will do whatever it wants and we won't even know. And if we don't know the rules under which government is formed, then how do we know that they're not following the rules or that they are following the rules? So I urge all of you, let's get educated. I mean, start small groups in your neighborhood. Let's, you know, start reading the Constitution. Get the California Constitution. It's available online, and read little sections of it, and, you know, read a paragraph every night at dinner time. You would be amazed what's in that thing. There are some of the dumbest things you ever heard in your life in the California Constitution. But those are things that we have control over and that we can alter or amend whenever we the people, choose to do it. So help me get to a place where we can use the power that God and the Constitution has given us to put this train back on the track so that our children can stay in the state that they were born in, and they can get jobs here and flourish here and raise their families here, and so that we all can stay in the homes that we've spent our lives building and paying for with a government that actually serves our interests and not the interests of people 500 miles away or on the East Coast.
You know, and we really do have to get the Republican Central Committees. A lot of them are on board with someone else, some of them anyone else but Megyn Dalley. And again, it's Siskiyou County, you folks out there, we're talking to you. Modoc County, Shasta County, Lassen County, Tehama County, Butte County, Plumas County, Glenn County, Colusa County, Sutter County, Yuba County, Sierra County, most of Nevada County, and parts of Placer County.
And on top of that, any other neighboring counties that want to help can help. They won't be his constituents. They won't be able to vote for him. But a lot of those folks know him. They know what he stands for. They can certainly help. Sorry, I just wanted to add that.
No, you're right about all that.
Also, if we end up finding a mechanism to break this state up, which I genuinely believe is our only path to liberty, I mean, I think that the quickest way to change this dynamic is to have a state of our own, because it's going to be difficult to overcome all of the money interests and the political interests in the state of California. Not undoable, but very difficult. The easiest path to liberty for us is form our own state and start over. We need a reboot here. California is broken. It's broken on a level that it's hard to even describe, and the more I read about it, the more crazy. I mean, it just seems like it's an insane asylum down there. But the easiest path to fix that is to form our own state and start over with a constitution that guarantees life, liberty, and property to the citizens of the state of Jefferson. So that's my ultimate goal. There, you know, we certainly have a platform beyond that, but my first official act will be to introduce state split legislation. I don't know where it will go, but I will do my level best to gain liberty for the people of District 1, and in doing so, hopefully put the rest of California on the path to liberty, too, because if we can do it, they can do it as well.
Absolutely correct. And Janessa Audette, she's one of the people who are running for
Assembly,
and there's several of them. We'll, I don't know if we'll have time to talk about that today, but we will talk about that next week, if not in the next program. Anyway, she made the comment that, are you ready for this, Mark? There are 400,000 regulations in the state of California. 400,000.
That seems like a low number to me.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And so, you know,
I mean,
the
there are over 500 state boards and agencies.
Yeah. Yeah,
the California Constitution has been amended around 550 times. They pass 800 to 900 laws a year, none of which are designed to make your life better. Most are designed to deny you of your money and your property.
Yeah, I mean, I
so
can't.
400,000, man, if it's only 400,000, maybe we got a shot.
You know? You know, I mean, that's how crazy it is. And so, folks, if you believe in everything this man is saying, then there needs to be some support there. I know, being a constituent of District 1 in the Assembly, I never got an email from Megan Daly. I did from Brian Daly, but I never got, and I'm not the only one. I mean, there's been no communication. That woman has done nothing. She had an opportunity to change a lot of those heinous laws that are affecting our schools, or at least attempt to, at least make a stab at it, at least let people know she was doing something. I've never seen a do-nothing candidate who's in office like she is. She's done nothing. I mean, it's somebody call. Somebody tell me what she's done. There hasn't been one thing that she has done. I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm just saying she hasn't done anything. She doesn't even communicate with her constituents. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I know there's a lot of people who have angst and feel the same way that I do in District 1, and we need to get behind a candidate that's actually going to do something. And the one thing I can say about Mark, and knowing him and working very, very closely with him for the last 10 years, is when he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And when he says something, he means it. And when he gives you a fact about something, it's a fact about something. And when he talks about an issue, he's well prepared on the issue. And when he makes a stand, and he doesn't waver, and he's a tremendous communicator in the fact that very accessible, extremely accessible. And anyway, you've got 2 minutes here, Mark, and then the computer's going to shut us off, so you've got the last word there, buddy. Shoot away.
Well, this is an uphill slog. I don't think that's a secret to anybody listening, but it can be done. We can do this together, and none of us can do it separately. So, as Ben Franklin said, if we don't hang together, we'll most assuredly hang separately. But I'm asking for your support. If you want this, stand. If you want to change the dynamic in Sacramento and in your life, stand with me. That's all I'm asking. If you can afford to give money, give it. If you can't afford to give it, God bless you, and we'll try to do it without money. But please, if you have ideas or thoughts as to how social media can be used to further this campaign or whatever it is, you know, be sure to call into this show or find me somehow. I don't know how that's going to be accomplished yet because I don't have a website or anything yet. But, you know, please stand with us, and let's regain the state that our fathers and our grandfathers built for us. And on the way, let's regain the nation that our forefathers built for us. We're the ones that have to hang on to this, and we have to secure liberty for our posterity, our job as citizens. The Constitution only gives us one job that a citizen can do, and that's secure liberty for your posterity. So let's stand together, and let's guarantee that our children and our grandchildren and future generations grow up in a nation that guarantees life, liberty, and property in freedom to its inhabitants.
Thank you, Mark Baird.
Thank you, Mark.